Hi guys, this is episode 9 of Kitchen Stitches and I'm your host, Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns and on Instagram as Summer's Picks. I think I've decided not to do show notes so much, but if I do them, you can find them on www.kitchenstitches.com. Instead of show notes for now, you can check the Ravelry group where I will post any new works in progress and I'll post the recipe links that I talk about in the recipe thread on the group. I think that will be easier for me right now. The biggest thing for me getting the episodes posted is actually doing show notes. And if any of you are podcasters, you could probably know what I'm talking about. I am trying something a little different today, and I am recording in my dining room while I am enjoying my cup of coffee. And I am working from home today, so I thought I would do this early before I started working. However, my cats are going crazy, so you may hear some background noise of my kitten running across the table or my dog barking. Actually, if the dog starts barking, I will pause until she stops, but you may hear the beginnings of that because I'm not the best at editing. Anyway, let's get started. I don't have any finished objects again this week. I have been knitting diligently, but I don't have anything to show for it yet. Let's go on to my works in progress then. I actually, you know, I said last week, and for those of you new listeners, I said that I am trying, sorry, the cat is doing acrobatics. I am trying to be a little more zen-like, and it's with my knitting, and it's going to sound like I'm not doing that when I talk about all the works in progress. But hopefully, as I talk about the progress I made on them, you'll see that I'm not obsessing about all of these. I'm just picking all of these up every once in a while and doing just a little bit on them. So my main project is still my Vitamin D. This is a paid pattern by Heidi Kermeyer. It's a cardigan pattern. I'm using Barocco Ultra Alpaca White. And I want to think I looked last night and the colorway was 4025. It is a deep chocolate brown. And I'm using my size 4 Haya Hayas. And as I mentioned, this is my main work in progress. I'm working on this every day. I think last week I said I was able to do one or two rows a day. I've cut that down. I'm not even trying to do more than that. My goal right now is just to work on it every day. So I am doing one row a day. For those of you who are familiar with the pattern, I finished the last radial increase last night, which means it should be smooth sailing from here. I have 7 more rows of this repeat, and that's in stockinette. And then 6 rows of garter stitch, and then I have to do a garter stitch edging. And that's it. I'm very proud of the progress I've made on this. It's still pretty slow going, but if I look at, I put a marker in between the last time I podcast and checked it to see how much I've done. And I've done probably about 1.5 inches, which is steady. And I know that if I do my one row a day, I will eventually finish it. And hope if I keep this up, I should finish it by the end of the month. Maybe I'll finish it by my birthday, which is on February 1st. That will be my goal. Get that sweater done by my birthday. The next thing up are my socks. Well, one pair of socks. These are, as I mentioned last week, based on the pattern Kebne Kaiser, which is a free pattern by Frida of Friday Studios. I have finished the heel on the first sock, and I am about 2 inches past. This project, I am keeping at work. This is my, I keep in my cubicle at work, and I'm working on it over my breaks and over lunch. I think I got about 10 rows done yesterday. On a good day, I take 2 15-minute breaks, and then I have about an hour-long lunch. That, you know, not counting the time I'm actually eating. So I can usually get about 3 rows done on my breaks, and then depending on what I brought for lunch and how much time I have, I can get several rows done over lunch. So these are actually making really good progress for me, considering the amount of time I'm working on them. These are part of the personal sock club I'm doing. I say I'm doing it along with Sock Bunny and Kate, hello Nettie, of Kitchen, of Stitch Addiction, but I'm not really participating in their groups all that much. I'm just, I'm taking their idea, and I am doing it with them in spirit. But the goal of that is to cast on a new pair of socks on the first day of every month, and I'm still planning to do that. Obviously, with it being the 15th of the month today, can you hear that cat? Excuse me. Being the 15th of the month today, and I'm not even done with one sock, obviously I'm not going to finish the pair of socks before the first of the month, but I do have extra needles, so I will go ahead and cast on the next pair on the first of the month. And my plan is to do exactly what I'm doing. That is going to be my at-work pair, at least until I've whittled down my other whips. So we'll see. These are very odd. I mentioned in one podcast that I was afraid they were going to look gruesome because they are basically a white sock with red splotches. At least that's what it looked like in the yarn or when it was caked up. As they're working up, there are spots that are very white, but then most of it is muddled with the red, so you've got kind of a pinkish tinge, and then you've got these really dark red spots. The yarn I'm using is McMullen Fiber Company Squishy, I believe. It's either Squishy or Squishy, and I can never remember. I think it's Squishy with O-O, S-Q-U-O-O-S-H-Y. And I don't remember the base. I don't think there was an actual base name. And it was part of the Hunger Games Club from a couple of years ago. And this is the President Snow colorway. And I can't really... Oh my gosh, the cat's climbing the curtains. Anyway, I was worried that it was going to look a little gruesome. Without giving too much away of the books or movies, if you haven't seen them, President Snow is not the nicest character. And I was... Anyway, I'm just going to go with that. I was afraid it was going to look gruesome. Instead, I have named these my white chocolate raspberry cheesecake socks, and keep that in mind as I'm knitting them. And they actually do kind of look like that. I'd like to thank Mrs. Shu, Sarah, for her comment on Ravelry telling me that they do not look as gruesome as I said, that they are actually lovely. So I'm going to take that to heart. They're not the prettiest socks I've ever made, but they're interesting, and that's what matters. The next thing up is my Trillion, which is a paid pattern by Martina Bame. I'm using Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Autumn Flame colorway on my size 4 Chowgu Spin, which are the bamboo interchangeables. And I've just done a few rows on that, probably two. I mentioned last week the plan, basically I was rotating, I've got my main work in progress and then I was rotating through. Well, I've picked up a new project I'm doing, I'll talk about it in a minute, but I'm doing a test knit for my mom, and that's sort of taken priority over the other ones. So these that I'm mentioning right now really got just a tiny bit of love, but if they got any love at all, I'm mentioning them. The other one is my Baby Fern Lace Hood, which is a free pattern by Allison Ryan. I'm using JoJo Land Melody color MS20, which is, I don't know how many plies it is. Maybe it may only be two plies, but it's one ply is red and one ply is blue. And as it's a gradient, so in some spots the blue is more prominent, in some places the red is more prominent. It's very pretty. And I'm using my size 5 Hiya-Hiyas on this, and I've done about a half an inch on this since the last time I podcast, which isn't bad. It's a lace pattern, and using size 5 on this sock yarn, but it's almost lace weight. So it doesn't take much to get a good, you know, a nice little bit done. Next up is my Monster Cowl still. This is a paid pattern by Julia Allen, and I'm using Malabrigo worsted in mint, natural, and pollen on my size 9 knit picks. And I've probably done about 6 rows on that. Slow but steady. To tell you the truth, I'm kind of dreading finishing this because I know that once I do, I'm going to have to weave in all those ends. That is the one problem I have with this pattern. It is a gorgeous pattern, and the finished product is going to be really nice, but I'm going to have a gazillion ends to weave in. So my plan for that is just to do just like I'm doing now, where, you know, I'll pick it up, and instead of actually knitting on it, what I'll be doing is weaving in ends for a little while. So, I have a plan. It's going to be really pretty when it's done. It's not colors that I normally would have chosen, but they work really nice together. And it will, even if I don't keep it myself, which I might, it will make a really nice gift for someone. Next up are my Friendship Socks, which is a paid pattern by Lauren McMorty. And I'm using Brazen Stitchery sock yarn and Sparkly Jolly Twinkle Jingly on size 1. I did this last week. I never corrected it. Size 0, Chalgu Red Lace. And again, I only did a couple of rows on this. I wouldn't think I did more than probably 4 or 5 rows at the very max. These will get picked up again. Yeah, eventually. These were supposed to be my Christmas socks, and they're not. You know, obviously, it's past Christmas, so I won't be wearing them until next year anyway, so I'm not in a real hurry. It's a lovely pattern, and they are going to be gorgeous socks. The reds and the greens in this yarn are just stunning. So, I'm enjoying working on them. I'm not in a hurry to finish them. And, let's see. The last thing I was working on last week still was, that is not new on the needles, is the Noodle pattern by Susan Claudino, which is a paid pattern, and Noodle is a little chihuahua stuffy, and I have actually made very little progress. I think last week I had finished the ear. Well, I know I had because it's the only time I've worked on it, and then all I've done since is cast on for the second ear. I haven't even done another row. Even though this is intended to be a gift for someone, it's not a priority. I need to make it a priority because this person is leaving her job in April, and I want to make sure that I finish it and give it to her, because this is somebody I almost certainly won't see again once she retires. Next up, this is new on the needles, is the Naturalist Cowl. And this is a test knit for my mom, who is a free spirit on Ravelry. I am using Misty Alpaca Sport and Red Fiesta Melange. And this was a gift. I say it was gift yarn. I'm doing this pattern as part of the knit along for the Into the Wool retreat, which is in May, that I'm going to with mom. And the first knit along is a woodsy theme. And so this fits right along. She posted in the group for that she was looking for test knitters. And as I said on there, since I'm all about overcommitment, I wanted to do it. But I didn't have, after looking at her, or not looking at her pattern, reading what she said about her pattern, I wasn't sure I had any yarn to use. So I posted in the group that I would test knit it for her if she gave me yarn. I hope everybody took that in the spirit that it was meant as a joke. And it seemed to go over well. But anyway, she sent me this Misty Alpaca to do this in, and it is a rusty red with little bits of blue running through it. And it is so soft, and the cowl is working up so pretty. I'm using my size 4 Hiya 16-inch fixed circulars on this. And I'm about 2.5 inches in, and I think the finished product is about, I think it was 9 inches. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mom. But I won't talk too much about it since it is not a released pattern yet. But those of you who are familiar with my mom's patterns, and she only has a couple of published patterns right now, but watch for this one, because this is a lovely cowl, and it will be, I suspect it will be a hot cowl. It's really pretty. I mean, hot as in good, not hot as in whew. Anyway, so that is all of my works in progress. I have a couple of upcoming projects that I want to talk about. The first, well, let's keep in the knitting theme. The first are, speaking of my mom's patterns, I'm planning to cast on a pair of vanilla latte socks. For those of you who listen, you may not know my mom as a free spirit, but you may be familiar with the vanilla latte pattern, which is a really popular pattern on Ravelry for just vanilla socks. And it is a great pattern. I am getting ready to cast those on using Hiwassee Creek Dye Works Sassafras in the Mardi Gras colorway, which is a self-striping colorway in the Mardi Gras colors that I actually custom ordered from Christy of Hiwassee Creek Dye Works, and she has since made it available in her shop. So if you want to go look at it, it is absolutely stunning. I've been mulling over these socks for about 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago. I don't think it's only been a year. But I was at work on Mardi Gras, and a coworker, excuse me, who is from Louisiana came up to talk to me, and somehow we started talking about the fact that it was Mardi Gras. Oh, well, I know how we started talking about it. This particular coworker always orders king cakes from a bakery in Baton Rouge for the staff. And she was letting me know that they were coming that day. And while we were chatting, I just happened to look down, and this was purely coincidence. And for those of you who are not familiar with Mardi Gras colors, they are purple, gold, and green. And I happened to look down. This had to have been last year. I can't believe that this was only a year ago. But stream of thought, people. I was wearing a purple shirt and looked down, and I was wearing my, oh gosh, what are those socks called? Harvest Dew socks, which I used a colorway that it has greens and yellows and purples. They're more pastel than the Mardi Gras colors, but they just happened, I happened to be wearing Mardi Gras colors. And that's why I say this had to have been last year, because it hasn't, I made those socks less than 2 years ago. I can't believe I've only been mulling this over for a year. Time is strange, people. Anyway, so I've been thinking about, when I noted it to her that I was wearing Mardi Gras colors, and she was commenting on my socks and mentioned something about how great they would be if they were in the true Mardi Gras, you know, like the deep green, purple, and gold colors. And I just, for some reason, I just had it in my head that I wanted to make this particular coworker a pair of Mardi Gras socks. And I don't think Mary Lee listens to my podcast. I would be very surprised if she did. But if you do, surprise. Anyway, I kind of looked around and to see if anybody had yarn like I was looking for. And I found some. I mean, it's just like trying to buy Christmas yarn. You can't, you know, after the fact, you're not really going to find it. And so I've kind of kept my eyes out, and I found a couple of things that were similar, but nothing quite stood out. So finally this year, I decided I really, really wanted to make these socks. I wasn't going to let the year go by without me making them. So I decided to just get them custom dyed. So I asked Christy if she would do this. And I have to, first of all, I want to rave about the yarn itself. The colors are spot on. If you picture Mardi Gras colors, she nailed it. These are the perfect colors. Second, I didn't even specify that it was self-striping, but although I'm not sure, I think everything Christy does may be self-striping. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But so I was pleased that they were. I would have taken them either way, but that was nice. And second of all, customer service. She mailed me back almost immediately saying, sure, she'd love to work with me on this. And I think I got the yarn this past Monday, and it took a week from the time I requested it to the time I actually received it, and probably took her less than 2 days to actually dye it up for me. Best customer service I've dealt with in a long time. So I highly recommend it. I haven't had a bad experience with any of the indie dyers or any indie sellers, but in this particular case, I just wanted to make sure that I said great, great customer service. Anyway, so, long story short-ish, I'm planning to cast those on hopefully today. I have a set of needles that I am going to cast them on. I don't know how they're going to move up in my priority. I really want to get them done by Mardi Gras, so they may have to boot something out for a while. The other upcoming project I have is the Frosted Pumpkin Once Upon a Time sampler, and this is a year-long sampler, a cross-stitch sampler, that started last Friday. So I think the first month's pattern came out. And I've talked about Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery in the past, so it's the same model. The pattern is released a little bit at a time. Unlike the other projects where you might get like a week's worth at one time, you know, a handful of blocks. This one you'd get just 1 month's block at a time. So I think it's a little bit more doable. I never finished the 12 Days of Christmas one because my shoulder, I was having shoulder pain. So that one is in hibernation for a while. I'll probably pick it up next Christmas. But this one I'm going to start, and hopefully I'll start that today too at some point. Enabling, I've actually already talked about the Hiwassee Creek Dye Works yarn. And the only other thing, I think I talked about it last week, but I actually received it this week, is the Another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock in the Frozen colorway. I received this Friday, maybe? I think it was the end of last week. And it is even more beautiful than it looked in the pictures. It is gorgeous blues and purples, and it's on the twinkle sock, so it's twinkly. And after discussing it with Laura, who is not a big fan of knit socks, she says they're too thick, and I can understand that. We do live in Houston where you don't need knit socks all that much, although I will wear mine year-round, even though it gets crazy hot here in the summer. The craziest hot, I'm not wearing the knit socks, but I work inside a building that gets pretty cold, so I will wear my knit socks mostly year-round. She doesn't care for them. So she had said when I bought the yarn that, yes, if I made them for her, yes, she would wear the socks, but I decided that there's no reason they has to be socks. And the thing is that it's hard to knit for a teenage girl. At least some teenage girls are all about knitwear. Some girls are not. My daughter does like hats, but even that we don't. First of all, a hat doesn't use enough of the skein. I want to be able to use a significant amount. And she can't wear a hat in school, so she gets limited wear with that. And it, like I said, it doesn't get that cold here. So we decided that I'll do a cowl. I could do a shawl, but she's not going to wear a shawl. She's more likely to wear a cowl. So I think I'll find something that is longer. I could do the honey cowl with that. I tried the honey cowl at one point and I got bored with it, so I'm not sure about that. But that might be nice because I can make it nice and long. I'll have to think about that. I'm not going to cast that on anytime soon. I wouldn't finish it by the time she could wear it this year anyway, so maybe she'll have that for next year. Kitty getting in the cereal box. That's great. Let's see. Okay, so that is all of my knitting for this week. Let's move on to In the Kitchen. And I'm going to add something to my list here really quick before I forget. Okay. I've been doing a lot of cooking, but I haven't done anything that's just really worth talking about. I'm sorry about the background noise. The cat is trying to get into the cereal box. Let me just move this. Anybody want some honey nut Cheerios? Just a moment. Okay, Belle. So, as I said, I've been doing a lot of cooking. In order to try to save some money, we're really bad about eating out. That's one of the things about living in a city like Houston, which has a really good restaurant scene. There's so many places to eat out, and some days it's just so easy to go out to eat. But with a family of four, it gets expensive really quickly, especially now that we have teenagers who aren't, you know, they're not eating off the kids' menu, and they don't generally, I mean, sometimes they'll share. We tend to, when we go out to eat, we do try to share meals as often as possible because restaurant portions are so huge. It's really more than any of us need. So often Jimmy and I will share, and the kids sometimes will. It all depends. You know, it all depends on your mood. Sometimes you don't want the same thing someone else wants. But a lot of the time, they will. Unfortunately, it still does get expensive. So we're trying our best to eat at home. Our rule right now, our guideline, let's say, is to eat at home during the school week. And then if we want, we can go out one or two times during the weekend. And that will save us quite a bit of money. So that's what we've been trying to do. That said, I haven't made anything just completely outstanding. I do have one thing that I'll talk about. But the first thing I want to talk about is sausage balls. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw that I posted a picture of the sausage balls I made last week. This is a pattern that I grew up with. I don't remember a time when my mom wasn't making sausage balls, but I'm sure there was. But it is the simplest pattern ever. It's just Bisquick, cheddar cheese, and sausage. Mix it all up, roll it into balls, and bake them. And they are delicious. Too delicious in that if you aren't careful, you'll eat the whole thing. But I always try to make those and cheese straws, or they come by a lot of different names. Cheese Krispies, I guess, is more accurate. They're not the long straws. But those are the two things that I often make over the holidays, and I just never got around to it this year. And my son really likes them. So I had bought the stuff to make sausage balls on New Year's Eve, and we never did. So I ended up making them last week to go ahead and just get the ingredients out of the house. And so that was one thing. And they were delicious, but they're nothing special, but what I told Jimmy was that they embody comfort food for me. They're just, especially when they're warm out of the oven, yum. Very good. Next thing I want to talk about is a Meyer lemon pie. I have never actually used Meyer lemons before, but a friend of mine brought in a whole bag of them to work because we had, almost everybody, we had a freeze last week. And so they had picked all the lemons off their tree, and they had made as much as they could possibly make with it, and they still had a bunch left over. So I took four home, and like I said, I've never cooked with them. If you're not familiar with a Meyer lemon, I think I read that it's a cross between a lemon and a mandarin orange. So it's a little sweeter than a normal lemon, and they're big, and they're very juicy. So I took four home just in case, because I wasn't sure how much juice I would be able to get out of one. And I ended up getting I got a half cup, which is what I needed, out of 1.5 lemon. That is a huge amount of juice. But that also left, I still have two Meyer lemons they're probably going to end up going to waste because they're already starting to look a little shriveled, which is a bummer. But anyway, I perused Pinterest to see what kind of recipe I could make with them and chose to do a lemon pie. And this was a super easy recipe. It's just Meyer lemon juice, a half cup, 3 egg yolks, and a can of sweetened condensed milk. Mix that up really well, pour it into a pie crust, and bake it. The only problem I have, the filling tasted amazing. It was delicious. I bought a pre-made crust, and I wasn't sure if I needed to bake the crust first or not, since I was getting conflicting directions. The recipe that I had, that I was going by, didn't say to bake the crust. I looked at the instructions on the pie shell, and it said to, for filled pies that you baked, you pour it in and you bake it. However, I baked it for the amount of time it called for, and while the crust on the outside, the rim was baked and it was good, the inside crust really wasn't cooked. It was edible. You know, what was I going to do? We ate it, and it was okay, but in the future, I would probably bake that crust at least a little bit before baking the full thing. I like to bake, but I haven't baked a whole lot of pies, so I'm not an experienced pie baker. So that is what I learned from that. In this particular case, I should bake the pie crust a little bit beforehand. Next up is a chicken curry dish that I got off of Pinterest again. It was actually, I found it on Pinterest, but the recipe came from allrecipes.com, and I'll link to it on the Ravelry group. It was an easy dish in that there wasn't a whole lot of prep and there wasn't a whole lot of doing a lot of things at the same time. At the same time, any type of dish like this, I always feel like I'm a little frantic when I'm cooking it. I am a better baker than I am a cook. I like cooking, and the things I cook turn out, they taste fine. But I enjoy baking more because I feel like it is less stressful. There's, you know, generally it's you do this and you do this and you do this. With cooking, you often have things, you know, frying, and you need to do this really quickly because it's everything's hot, and it stresses me out a little bit. That said, this was not a hard dish to make. I will make it again. It was, oh gosh, I don't even remember all of the ingredients. I should have made better notes on this. The one thing I did leave out was onions, because I always leave out the onions, but I do substitute onion powder. If a recipe calls for a lot of onion, I'll do about a tablespoon of onion powder to make up for the taste. But this, it was just, you know, traditional Indian spices, a lot of, you know, had cardamom and coriander and cumin and turmeric, and I'm not sure what else, but it was kind of odd because it called for a tablespoon of curry powder, but then it called for all of these other spices, and all curry powder really is all of those spices. So I'm not really, I think the recipe could have been, you could have left out the curry powder and just upped the spices for these other things. That was a little strange. I didn't have any curry powder in my cabinet, so I just made a substitution. So I made my substitution and then added more of the same. That was kind of weird. But you have the spices and you have, what else? Oil and chicken, and it called for a can of crushed tomatoes, but I could only find diced tomatoes. So I used that. And it's a curry dish. It also called for yogurt. And this is my funny story of the day. It's actually, you know, how the Knit More girls have when knitting attacks, though this was my when cooking attacks, or I'll call it my cooking outtakes. All of these recipes, they often call for plain yogurt. I don't know about where you live, but here you can't find just one small container of plain yogurt. Like, you know, you can go and buy Yoplait or Chobani or, you know, whatever in like the single size servings, which is perfect for a recipe like this. You can't find plain yogurt like that. So I had to buy, you know, the huge, like, I don't know, 16 ounce container of yogurt that I am not going to use the whole thing for. I always find that frustrating. But I always look, because every once in a while I'll find it. But this time, no. And I looked and looked and looked. I was looking for the yogurt, couldn't find it, and then ended up, you know, so I was like, fine, I'll just buy the big thing, and took it home. I'm in the middle of cooking, and I opened the yogurt, and it was pink. If you're familiar with yogurt, you know that. Who's not familiar with yogurt? But anyway, plain yogurt is what color? White. What is pink yogurt? Yeah, it's probably strawberry and banana or strawberry. Sure enough, I had bought this huge container of strawberry and banana yogurt for my curry. I was already cooking, already had the rice on, I had actually already started heating the oil. I was so frustrated. Luckily, actually, I had the forethought to actually make sure that I had all of my things measured out. So I, like I said, frantic, and trying to have everything as organized as possible. So I was just starting to heat the oil. That's all I had done. And when I opened this, luckily for me, we live literally around the corner from a grocery store. So I told my husband to, you know, make sure that nothing caught on fire and ran to the grocery store and got the regular yogurt. So now I have a huge thing of strawberry and banana yogurt that we may or may not use, and a huge thing of plain yogurt that I may or may not use. I think actually I may try to make a pound cake. Maybe I can still salvage the Meyer lemons, and I can make a Meyer lemon pound cake and use some of that yogurt instead of sour cream. That's a thought. Anyway, that said, I managed to get the yogurt and came back and finished the dish, and it was really, really good. I haven't made a whole lot of Indian food, and I'm sure this was from allrecipes.com. This was not from a reputable Indian cookbook or Indian website. It was, you know, somebody threw this together and put it on All Recipes. But it was really good, regardless of whether it was authentic or not. We had that using over brown rice, and it was great. I will definitely make it again, even though, like I said, it made me a little frantic. I think I would cut the oil down a little bit since I don't use whole onion. I probably didn't need to use as much oil as I used since I wasn't actually frying anything in it. But yeah, I will link to that on my show notes. And if you like Indian food or curries just in general, I recommend it. And then the last food item I would like to talk about, because I like to prove that I do sometimes eat vegetables, Mom. I, as an adult, or actually not even just as an adult, within the past year to year and a half, I've discovered that I like cabbage. That was something I don't remember ever having cabbage as a kid. Maybe my mom doesn't like it. But I've discovered that there are a lot of things that I never had when I was a kid because Mom doesn't like. Which, as a parent and as the main cook, you know, chef in the house, I understand that. I generally don't cook things I don't like. Although, because I am not a huge vegetable eater, I will cook vegetables that I don't like because, you know, like I don't like canned green beans at all, but my kids and my husband do. So I will often make things like that. And I make the green bean casserole for Thanksgiving that I don't like, but I know they like. So there's a little bit of that. But I don't even remember how I discovered that I liked cabbage. It may be because I like Brussels sprouts, which are just basically mini cabbages. I decided to try cabbage. I think I may have tried it somewhere. I don't remember. But there are several recipes that popped up on Pinterest over the past couple of years that are for roasted cabbage. And I will make it periodically. My kids, well, Eli cleaned his plate last night. Laura doesn't generally like cabbage all that much. Jimmy loves it. Eli seemed to really like it, and I like it. So I'll make it occasionally. And so last night, the way I did it was you take a whole cabbage and then slice it into 1-inch slices. Put it on a greased baking sheet. Drizzle it with olive oil and salt it. It's salt and pepper again. My daughter actually doesn't like the taste of black pepper, so I tend to not include that. She can put that on there, or we can put that on there as an afterthought. I, as a picky eater myself, I respect when someone really doesn't like the flavor of something. I try to not include it. So I've quit using black pepper in most cases. Anyway, So we salt and pepper, whatever you can put. I'm sure you can put other seasonings on the cabbage if you wanted. But then all you do is bake it at 400 degrees for about 45 minutes or so. Basically, you just want it, you want the cabbage to be soft. And it is so good. There's just something, it doesn't have a very strong flavor. It reminds me, well, if you like Brussels sprouts, so it's probably a similar flavor to Brussels sprouts. It's just kind of a nutty, creamy flavor, and it's really, really good. So if you are one of these people who is not particularly adventurous with vegetables, or you think you don't like vegetables, as someone who spent probably 30 years of my life thinking that I didn't like most vegetables, I've discovered that if I roast them, that I will eat almost any vegetable. The only exception are the onions and the peppers. But, that is a really good way to get in some vegetables. It's really, really easy, and I highly recommend it. Let's see, we're 41 minutes in, and I think that's probably about all I have to talk about. The only other thing, I don't talk about books on here just because I've never been particularly eloquent at talking about books. Not that I'm eloquent about much of anything, but I love to read. I'm a librarian. That doesn't mean, I've learned that there are librarians who are not huge readers. That's not all that the librarian profession's about, but for me, I've always loved to read, and I read pretty much anything. But when it comes to actually talking about it, I don't really usually have a lot to say. It's a very internal thing for me. But that said, I do want to kind of talk about my reading goals. I think if you have not listened to the Sampler Girl podcast, that is a podcast I've been listening to by Tanya, she's Tanya Marie, I believe. I'm sorry, Tanya. I think that's her username on Ravelry. She's BZ Mama on Instagram. She was talking in her podcast about her reading goals, and I am so jealous because she reads so much. I don't remember how many you said, but I know her goal for this year is 90 books, and I can't even imagine. Even at my peak of reading, which was when I was in a different job and I wasn't very social, so I read over lunch. I read everywhere. I mean, basically waiting for my shuttle from my parking garage, you know, over lunch, anytime I had a break, I was always reading. And I think I topped it at 75. So I can't even imagine reading 90 books in a year. So kudos to you. But so my goal, I don't have a firm number this year. The past couple of years, it seems to be getting lower and lower when it comes to how many books I've read. So it was a little depressing. To some people, I'm sure it seems I read probably 25, or I think I read 27 books this year, which for me is a really low number, and it is a little depressing. To other people, that may be a lot. But I've decided to not worry about it. Just like with my knitting, where I'm trying to be more zen, I'm trying to be more zen about my reading, too. I got off of a committee that I was on at work that was a nominating committee for an international book award because I just didn't want to read things that I was obligated to read. I wanted to read for me. So that is my goal this year. Because I am me, of course, there is some type of regimen to it. So let me talk about that for a minute. I have got three running book lists that I keep as Google Docs. One is everything I own, whether it's on my bookshelf or on my Kindle. And then the other two lists are things that I don't own, but I want to read, things that I've run across from other people or from recommended book lists that we have. There are some state book lists. A lot of them, I had a book a day calendar many years ago, probably 10 years ago, that I added to this list. So I'm still reading things that are off of that list. I've got I don't even know how many hundreds of books on this list. So I have one that is adult titles and one that is young adult titles, because I like to read young adult literature too. If you've turned your nose up to it in the past, you should really give it a chance. These books are really well written. It's nothing like the young adult books that you might have remembered from your teenage years. But I don't know if I've talked about the randomizer my husband made for me several years ago. This is honestly one of the most romantic gifts I've ever gotten, and this is so funny and so geeky. But my husband teaches computer science, and so he is a coder. And one day I was mentioning that I wanted something that I could just plug my list of books in and it would tell me what to read. So he wrote me a program that does it and made it into actually a really pretty website. And I'll link to that on either on my blog or I'll put it in the group. And I use this for everything. I will use it when I need to choose what yarn I'm going to use, what pattern I'm going to use, if it is something that I need to, I have too many choices. What books I'm going to read, obviously. I use it all the time to pull something. So it is one of the most useful, thoughtful gifts I've ever had. Anyway, what I'm doing right now, because I have so many things, I can't just work my way across the shelf, because that's just not me. What I'm doing right now is I don't know how to say this. I have those four or three lists. I have my home list that I have, and then my adult one that I don't own, and my young adult one that I don't own. And so I'm trying to kind of like not de-stashing, but working through my yarn stash. I'm trying to do the same thing with my books. So I'm reading three books from home and then one from the unowned adult stack and one from the unowned young adult stack. And that's how I'm working lists. That's how I'm working through that. Seems a little crazy, and maybe it is a little crazy, but it's how I manage it. I just finished a book called The Wishing Year by Noelle Oxenblood, I think is her name. I don't really remember her name. That has been sitting on my shelf for a long time that I really enjoyed. And I just picked up one called Cadillac Orpheus, which I think I made it two pages in before I fell asleep last night. So I don't have anything to say about that one. And those are that will be my third from home. And then I'll choose from my unowned list. I don't even know how I keep up with these things, but it makes me feel a little bit more organized. But that said, the whole point of this was the whole Zen thing. I'm not stressing about it. And I'm trying not to, one of the things that I get frustrated with, and this is the same with knitting, is I'll be 3/4 of the way through with something, and all I want to do is move on to the next thing. And I'm trying to stop doing that. And I've found myself starting to obsess over what my next book will be, and I'll stop and say, are you enjoying what you're reading right now? Okay, then that's good. Don't worry about what the next thing is. I'm never going to get through everything I own. Just like, well, I won't say I will never knit through all my stash, but I will never ever read every book I want to read. So I'm trying to just enjoy what I'm doing at the moment. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today. Enjoy the moment. Don't worry about what's coming next. Just enjoy what you're doing now. And with that being said, I wish you all a happy week, and I will talk to you sometime next week. Bye.